Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. Your Scofield Bible, page 1101. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And we'll read these verses responsively. Page 1101. And a stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for a landmark day. Thank you for this church and for our preacher. Bless this service, thy word as it's preached. Help us to get what you have us here for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of the 150-plus sermons I preach from this pulpit every year, only about 5 or 6 of them are preached directly to the unsaved. Almost all of them are preached to saved people, trying to encourage and inspire the saved people to go out where the unsaved folks are and tell them about Christ and bring them to the church to profess their faith in Christ. This day, however, is a day given to the unsaved. Tonight, as I did this morning, I would address my message to the unsaved. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. That main harvest is over, but the gleanings are just as important. There are others tonight in this room who are on their way to a Christless eternity. And so I pray that this evening you'd speak to our hearts as we seek the cleanings of this great day. In Jesus' name, amen. If there were just some place in the Bible where it tells us that someone went to heaven and why he went to heaven, we do have such a place in the Bible. We read about it a while ago from Luke chapter number 18, verses 9 through 14. We have the story of two men who went up to the temple to pray. And these two men, the Bible says that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What he said was that one of these two men went to heaven and one went to hell. Now I'd like to examine what these men did and did not do. My outline tonight is a very confusing one. Point number one, what he did do and didn't. Point number two, what he didn't do and didn't. Point number three, what he didn't do and did. And point number three, what he did do and did. Now, shall we stand for the closing prayer? I'm going to examine these two men for a while. And the first man I'm going to examine is the man that didn't go to heaven. What he did do and did not go to heaven, and what he didn't do and did not go to heaven. And then the second man we shall examine is the man who went to heaven. We're going to discuss what he did not do and yet did go to heaven, and then what he did do and did go to heaven. I call your attention to the first man who did not go to heaven. I want to call your attention what he did do. In the first place, he prayed. He prayed. The Bible said he prayed with himself. He prayed. Now that means that you don't just go to heaven because you pray. Would you go to heaven if you died? I say my prayers every night. You can say it morning, noon, and night if you want to, and die and go to hell. Because this man went to hell. He did not go to heaven, though he prayed. I mean the Mohammedan who prays three times and bows a certain direction toward his headquarters, prays, but he's not going to go to heaven when he dies. And so he prayed. Well, that doesn't do it. That means that you don't go to heaven because you pray. There's something else about this man. He believed in God. He believed in God. He prayed thus with himself and said, God, I thank you that I'm like this and thus and so. He believes in God. Well, so does the woman who takes a little baby and puts a little baby in the, throws a little baby to the alligators of the Nile River and worships the Nile River. She believes in a God. So does the man who looks up and worships the sun. He believes in a God. No, you don't go to heaven because you believe in God. This man did not go to heaven, though he prayed and though he believed in God. The third thing about this man is this. He was thankful. Now, you can be grateful to God for all He's done for you. You can believe in Him. You can even talk to Him and pray to Him. But that's not what takes you to heaven when you die. This man prayed, but he did not. That didn't do it. And he believed in God, but that didn't do it. And he was thankful, but that didn't do it. But that isn't all. He fasted. He mentioned in his prayer. He said, I fast. More than once a week I fast, he said, but that didn't do it. So does the Indian guru fast also, but he's going to die and go to hell if he doesn't put his faith in Jesus Christ. So this man prayed, but that didn't do it. He still went to hell. This man believed in God, but he still went to hell. This man was thankful, but he still went to hell. This man fasted, but he still went to hell. That isn't all. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. He tithed and still went to hell. You can't buy your way to heaven, and you can't tithe your way to heaven, and you can't give your way to heaven. You can give your money, build buildings for Christian colleges and underwrite Christian institutions and endow chairs in Christian schools of higher learning in the Christian field, but you don't go to heaven because of what you give to God. You ask the average person who walks down the street of Hammond tomorrow, you stop and say, what do you have to do to go to heaven? He'll say, well, you've got to go to church to go to heaven. No, more people will go to hell from the church roll than probably most anywhere else. And more folks will dead sure go to hell from the church roll than will go to heaven from the church roll. Well, he'll say, okay, you've got to pray. No, you don't have to pray to go to heaven. And if you pray, that does not mean you're going to heaven. That isn't all. This man not only prayed and died and went to hell, he believed in God and died and went to hell. He was thankful and died and went to hell. He fasted and died and went to hell. He tithed and died and went to hell. But he was a church member of the strictest sort. He was a Pharisee. This man was a clean, moral, good, solid man. But he went to hell. This man was baptized, but he went to hell. This man belonged to a religion, but he went to hell. This man paid his debts, but he went to hell. I'm saying all these things that the average person would think are necessary for a man to go to heaven, this man did. The Bible said he went to hell. What he did, so I know this. I know you can pray all you want to pray and die and go to hell. You can give all you want to give and die and go to hell. You can believe in God till you all you want to and die and go to hell. You can fast, join the church, get baptized, take communion, take the sacraments, and confess your sin to the priest in a telephone booth. By the way, I made an announcement this morning. I was not going to be offensive in my preaching on salvation. I'm not going to make that announcement tonight. You can go to El Papa in El Roma at the Vatican City in St. Peter's Basilica or barn. You can go there if you want to. And you can meet El Papa out on the front. And El Papa can do like this all he wants to do until he is absolutely in a habit of it. And you can die and go to hell because you don't get saved because you're Catholic. You don't get saved because you're a Baptist. You don't get saved because you're a Methodist. You don't get saved because you pray. You don't get saved because you give. You don't get saved because you're baptized. You don't get saved because you take the sacraments. This man did all of the religious things and ritual, and yet the Bible says he died and went to hell. Now, what he didn't do and still didn't go to heaven? First place, he didn't cheat. Brother, when he filled out his income tax report, it was better than yours. He didn't cheat. I mean, he gave 8 hours pay, work for 8 hours pay. He did not rob. He did not commit adultery. He was clean and moral. Boy, you could run a good reference on this fella. And if your daughter came home and said, I'm dating this fella, you'd sure like to hear that. Or if he applied for a job in your company, you'd hire him on the spot. If he tried to get in your college, you'd take him just like that. But the truth is, the fella died and went to hell. What didn't he do? He did not cheat. He did not curse. He did not gamble. He did not drink. He did not swear. He was a good fundamentalist as far as his standards were concerned. But he died, went to hell. Now, you know that I believe in standards. I have very little patience with this modern stuff that calls itself fundamentalism and has no standards whatsoever. Go on and drink your liquor and go to your mixed bathing, go to your Hollywood movies, play your cards and gamble and roll your dice and sip your martinis. I have no patience with that at all. But quit all of that stuff and you'll die and go to hell if you don't get born again. This man, I was thinking about this afternoon about John the Baptist. John the Baptist came with this strange-looking outfit, eating grasshopper salad for lunch. John the Baptist came preaching. Down the aisle one day, there came a fellow to receive Christ as Savior. Young man, fine young man, top-notch young fellow. But he didn't really get saved. It was the popular thing to do. Hundreds and hundreds of folks were getting saved under the preaching of John the Baptist. It was the thing to do. This young man came down the aisle, and he professed his faith, but didn't get saved. Now, listen to me carefully. If you walked the aisle this morning, and you did not really in your heart accept Christ as your Savior, and you did not mean it in your heart, then you get down this aisle tonight and get it all cared for. Or if you brought 500 converts this morning, and you in your own heart have never been born again, you walk down this aisle and get it cared for. So, this young man walked out. I can see them as they read his name. They said, this is Judas Iscariot. And he has come receiving Christ as Savior. Something inside. And by the way, this is a good guy. This was a good, clean fella. Honest fella. But he wasn't born again. Something inside said, I ought to admit right now, I didn't get born again. They just took my name. And I just came down because everybody else did. I came because my friends did. And I didn't really get born again. I ought to tell them now. But Judas Iscariot would not do that. And then, no doubt, John the Baptist himself baptized Judas Iscariot. When they walked out in the Jordan River, and John the Baptist put his left hand on the arm of Judas Iscariot and raised his right hand in the air, and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I have an idea, Judas Iscariot said, I ought to stop right now. I ought to stop. Hold it. I'm not really born again. But I don't want to embarrass myself. I've got a good name. I'll go ahead and get baptized. John the Baptist baptized him, a sinner. He came up a sinner. Never born again. That isn't all about Judas Iscariot. I was thinking about him today. He became a preacher. He started to preach. He walked down the aisle one day and said, God's called me to preach the gospel. And John the Baptist, somebody else stood up and said, Judas Iscariot is surrendering his life to preach the gospel. And Judas Iscariot stood, and his mama was so proud, and his dad was so proud, and his friends were so proud of him. One of the finest young men, but he hadn't been born again. He almost said then, I know I'm not saved. I know I should confess it. But I'd be embarrassed. Let me tell you something. If your name is not written in heaven, then you get it written in heaven before you leave tonight. I don't care how much embarrassed. If you're sitting on this platform and you're not sure you're born again, settle it tonight. If you're sitting in this choir and you're not sure you're born again, settle it tonight. If your name's on the deacon board of this church, you're not sure you're born again, settle it tonight. If you're a delegate to pastor school and you're not sure you've been born again, settle it tonight. Judas Iscariot said, I'll do something about this, but didn't do it. Why? Because he was proud. Same reason you don't. He was proud. Then there came the day when he was ordained to preach. They were just like we are. I can see his family sitting there so proud. Judas Iscariot was there, and these ordained preachers were there, no doubt. At least the church people were there. And they came and laid hands on Judas Iscariot, set him aside to preach the gospel. Judas Iscariot said, before they do this, I ought to stand up and tell them I've not been born again.
When I walked down the aisle, I walked down the aisle because somebody else did. I didn't really get saved. I should tell him now. I should do it. Oh, but he didn't do it. Why? Because he was embarrassed. And then came the time when our Lord, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, took some men up beside the mountain. He said, I want to choose 12 to follow me. He read off the name Peter, Andrew, James, John. And then he came down to Judas. And Judas said, oh my, I'm going to be one of the 12. I ought to stand up right now and tell him I'm not saved. I ought to tell him now. When I walked the aisle, I did it because somebody else did. I did it because it was the fad. Listen to me. If 2,050 people in this room tonight walked the aisle this morning so you could help us have 3,000 or more saved, then tonight you tell us about it. I'd rather have 2,999 genuinely saved than over 5,000 people faking it. Now you listen to me. This thing is real. This is no joke. It's real. And Judas Iscariot said, I'm sure I should tell him. But he didn't. Why? He was embarrassed. Then came the day when he preached himself. Bible says that he cast out devils. Bible says he performed miracles. And yet, he was never born again. All the things he did and the things he didn't dotted every I and crossed every fundamental T. But he was not saved. Now I must hurry. I want to look at the second fellow. Here, this first fellow went in the temple to pray. And the Bible says he prayed, but he wasn't saved. He went to hell. He believed in God, but he went to hell. He was thankful, but he went to hell. He fasted, but he went to hell. He tithed, but he went to hell. He joined the church, but he went to hell. He was baptized, but he went to hell. He took communion, but he went to hell. But what he didn't do, he didn't cheat. He didn't rob. He didn't commit immorality. He didn't do that which was considered dishonest. But he died and went to hell. Now the second fellow. What he didn't do and did. He didn't belong to a church, but he went to heaven. He wasn't baptized, but he went to heaven. He wasn't confirmed, but he went to heaven. He wasn't sprinkled as a baby, but he went to heaven. He wasn't a tither, but he went to heaven. He didn't observe religious ceremony, but he went to heaven. Now look what he did do. He was a robber, an extortioner, yet he went to heaven. He was crooked, yet he went to heaven. He was probably an adulterer, yet he went to heaven. He paid his bills on time, yet he went to heaven. The honest, simple truth is, this guy was as wicked and vile as a guy could be, but he went to heaven. Why? You don't go to heaven because you don't sin. You go to heaven because your sins are washed in the blood of Christ. I want you to notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified. What does justified mean? Jesus said, this man is perfect. That's what it means. Perfect. Perfect. This man that was an adulterer, perfect? Yeah. This man was crooked? Perfect? Yeah. This man was an extortioner? Perfect? Yeah. Why? Because the other guy, though he was as good as a guy could be, no doubt, he wasn't good enough to stand in the presence of God Almighty. Because he was not perfect justice, perfect righteousness. But when this little old guy that was as wicked as the devil, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That very moment when he trusted the Savior, God imputed to him the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God, that's why God said he went down to his house justified. Let me illustrate one of these. Let me have this mic, please. Anybody home up there? Hey, right here. Any of them? Good. A little louder. All right, good. The word justified there is a very interesting word. The word is the same word that's used in the Greek for the word mercy seat. Tomorrow night, I'm going to stress this a great deal in a Bible study I'm going to give for pastor school. Let me just sort of give you a little preview tonight, not all of it, but just a little preview.
The high priest, once a year, was allowed to go somewhere that nobody else was allowed to go. He was allowed to go to inside the Holy of Holies. Now, I'm going to let the tabernacle be right here. I'm going to let the altar be right here. And I'm going to let the laver be right here. And the veil leading into the main tabernacle be right here. The golden candlestick is right over here. Table of showbread is right over here. Altar of incense is right here. And the second veil is right here. And inside that second veil is... I take that water. Is the Holy of Holies. And right here, you have the two cherubim. Over the Holy of Holies. The demons. Over the Holy of Holies. Now then, once a year, and only the high priest could do this. Once a year, he was allowed to go past the altar, past the laver, through the outer veil, past the candlestick, past the showbread, past the altar of incense, and into the Holy of Holies. The top of that Holy of Holies was a mercy seat covered with pure gold. On that mercy seat, the high priest would take the blood of this innocent sacrifice shed out here on the altar. He'd take that blood through the first veil, through the candlestick, table showbread, altar of incense, through the second veil, and here was the Shekinah glory presence of God Himself. He would take that blood of the substitute sprinkled out there, killed out there, and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. He would come out after he'd done it and cry, "It is finished!" That meant that God had accepted once again the atoning sacrifice of the innocent substitute and the blood shed there. So this man was a Jewish man. He knew all about this. He knew about the altar. He had seen the temple. He had seen the house of God. He knew about the laver. He knew about the golden candlestick. He knew about the table of showbread. He knew about the altar of incense. He knew about the Holy of Holies. And this man knew that once every year in October, about the 10th day of our October, he knew that this high, that the high priest had to go inside with the blood shed out here inside and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat for the atonement of the sins of the whole world. That word there that he uses when he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," he say, "Lord, be mercy seat, merciful to me, a sinner." He's saying, "Lord, be sacrificial, merciful to me. Be blood, merciful to me. Be veil, merciful to me. Be golden candlestick, merciful to me. Be table of showbread, merciful to me. Be altar of incense, merciful to me. Be mercy seat, merciful to me." He said, "God, Jesus, you do to me," as he knelt and prayed. He said, "Do to me exactly what you have in mind." When that high priest goes every year and sprinkles that blood on the mercy seat. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, came from heaven, became flesh, walked as man would walk, lived as man would live, and never sinned, never said what he shouldn't say, never went where he shouldn't go, never heard what he shouldn't have heard, never saw what he shouldn't have seen, never walked where he shouldn't have walked. He was the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. Jesus Christ went to God's heavenly, on earth but heavenly, place of sacrifice. And Jesus, the Lamb, about whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He didn't say, "Behold the King of Kings." He didn't say, "Behold the Lord of Lords." He didn't say, "Behold the Messiah." He didn't say, "Behold the King of Israel." He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Before you need a king, you've got to have a lamb. Before you need a Lord, you've got to have a lamb. That man, when he prayed, beat his breast. "Father, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was saying, "Father, I'm trusting the blood of Jesus Christ as my hope for heaven. Jesus Christ, our Lamb, our sacrifice, our substitute, died, but that isn't enough. I don't care what John MacArthur says, that's not enough. John MacArthur's full of prunes. He says, I don't like that. Then get up and walk out. Same door you walked in is open tonight. I'm sick and tired of folks making light of the blood of my Savior. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And that man knelt there and beat on his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was pointing to Jesus Christ, our Lamb. But Jesus Christ was more than our Lamb. He was also our High Priest. Just as that blood here on the altar, the brazen altar, if it drops there on the brazen altar, the atonement is not complete. That lamb dying is not enough. The blood of that lamb has got to get inside that mercy, on that mercy seat, and it's got to be shown in the very presence of God. Jesus Christ, my Lamb, paid the price on Calvary as my Lamb. But bless God, He didn't stay on Calvary. He rose from the dead. And as my High Priest, He ascended to heaven with the very blood that had been in those hands is now held by those hands. We said, how did He stay alive? The glorified body doesn't need any blood. Has flesh and bone, but doesn't need any blood. Jesus died as my Lamb, rose as my High Priest, and on His way inside to the very presence of God Himself, the real mercy seat in heaven. Somebody saw Him who loved Him dearly. It was Magdalene, the woman who'd had her sins washed in that blood, the woman who'd been possessed of seven devils, the woman who had no right to call herself a Christian except for the goodness of God. She had no goodness of her own. She saw Him and she said, Master. And Jesus said, don't touch me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! Well, why can't I touch you? Why can't I touch you, Master? And Jesus said, I've not yet ascended to my Father. Because the High Priest, once that He took the blood of that sacrifice, He could not be touched by anybody until the blood was shed and sprinkled there on the mercy seat. And Jesus had shed His own blood as my Lamb and rose as my High Priest. He said, Mary, don't touch me. Don't touch me, Mary. Boy, if I'd have been there, I'd say, please don't touch Him, Mary. Don't touch Him. If you touch Him, we're all doomed and damned. Mary, don't touch Him. I'd have kicked her out. Don't, Mary, get out of here. Get your cotton picking hands off of Him. She didn't touch Him. And my High Priest, bearing His own blood, just like the priest bore the blood of the innocent sacrifice, my High Priest, bearing His own blood, went inside the Holy of Holies, sprinkled His own precious blood in the presence of Jehovah God. That's why I'm saved tonight. Because that blood right there on that mercy seat hides my sins from the eyes of God the Father. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God, my sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. That's what that fellow meant. That's all he did. That's all he did. He never joined a church. He never got baptized. He never gave one tithe. He never fasted for one meal. He never was honest. He was a publican, the crookedest bunch in the whole country. He was a cheat and a scoundrel. He was an internal revenue agent, which is, anyway, he and all of them those days were crooked. He was dishonest. He was a cheat. He was a crook. He would take money from widows and orphans and use it for his own luxury while they starved, had no place to live. He was a dirty, rotten, sorry crook, but he did one thing the other fellow didn't do. He said, dear God, be mercy seat merciful to me. Like You covered the sins of Israel on the Day of Atonement when the high priest went inside the holy place, Holy of Holies. Would You cover my sins with the blood of Jesus the same way? That's the difference.
That's the difference. Yes, the average person is going to heaven. Yes. How do you know? I'm pretty good. How do you know? I'm baptized. How do you know? I live a good life. How do you know? I'm a good citizen. How do you know? I'm a good husband. How do you know? I'm a good father. How do you know? I'm a good wife. How do you know? I'm a good mother. But you ask the born again person if he's going to heaven. And he'll say yes. How do you know? And he'll say, there is a fountain filled with blood born from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I was in Ramada Inn in Milford, Ohio, 10 or 12 years ago, preaching there at the First Baptist Church. I was waiting for my driver. I was about 10 minutes early. There's a Catholic priest sitting there. Well, he didn't see me walk in, so I put my Bible and hid it under my overcoat. He didn't know I had a Bible. I walked over and I said, sir, or ma'am, whichever end to believe, you know. I said, could you answer a question? He said, what is it? I said, I've always wanted to know I'm going to heaven. Could you tell me what I could do to know I'm going to heaven? Well, he said, sure. I said, well, you're a man of the cloth. I want to go to heaven when I die. Would you tell me how to go? Well, he said, you've got to do good. I said, wonderful. I said, would you tell me, please, exactly what good I've got to do? Because I want to know exactly what good I've got to do. Well, he said, you've got to do real good. Oh, real good. Real good. Well, what else have I got to do? Well, he said, you've got to be religious. I said, would you tell me, please, what religious ceremonies I've got to perform? Well, he said, a lot of them. Okay, I said, a lot of religious ceremonies. I said, what else? He said, you've got to confess your sins. I said, how many of them? He said, well, a lot of them. He said, all of them. I said, all of them? My soul, what if I died while I was in the middle of that? What would happen to me? He began to stutter and stammer. And I said, why don't you admit you don't know the way to heaven? I said, I tricked you and I'm glad I did. Because you ought to be tricked, because you've tricked enough people in your life. I said, the simple truth is, you're going to hell and you know it, and you don't know how to tell me to go to heaven, and what you ought to do is get that dress on, put you some work clothes on, make a living, honest living. I mean, is there a hell and is there a heaven? If there is, tell me how to go. I want to know. I know from this story right here. I know. I know what won't work. And I know what will work. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. If you are sitting over here with the bus kids tonight, or up over there with the public school kids, or the real sinners in the bass section of the choir, I don't care where you're sitting. I don't care what you've done. Listen to me now. I don't care what you've done. Have you stolen? Have you robbed? Have you embezzled? Are you living in immorality? Are you a lesbian? Are you an adulterer? Are you a crook? Are you a thief? Are you a murderer? I don't care what you've done. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. All you got to do is come to Jesus and say, Jesus, be mercy seat merciful to me, a sinner. You're my lamb, and your blood was sprinkled in the Holy of Holies for me. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and trust that as my hope for heaven. Do you know what? If somebody walked up to God the next minute and said, God, boy, that person down there sure has done a lot of sins. God would say, where? Where? Because my sins are blotted out. I know. God can't even see my sins.
And that's how this guy got to heaven. I'm so sick and tired of these non-compassionate, non-hellfire and damnation imposters for fundamentalists. I'm so sick and tired of them talking about, brother, everybody's got to be holy, holy, holy. Well, we all live holy lives. We ought to be separated and clean. But bless God, I don't care what you've done. Jesus' blood will wash away every sin of your life. If you'll come tonight, if you'll say, dear God, I'm a sinner and I know it. And now because I'm a sinner, I'm lost and I know that. Dear God, I know that Jesus came from heaven to earth, took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Dear God, I know He went to Calvary, charged my sins to His own record, and paid the penalty for my sins, rose again after 72 hours, and entered into the very presence of God the Father, and sprinkled His own blood on that mercy seat. And dear God, on that basis, I trust You, and that has my hope for heaven. Bless God, the minute you do that, your name is written in heaven, your sins are forgiven, and you're God's child, and you can sing. I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go, I want all to hear it, I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I've been born again. Yes, you can. But if you choose the church route, you'll go to hell. If you choose a baptism route, you'll go to hell. If you choose the priest route, you'll go to hell. You choose the confession route, you'll go to hell. You choose the confirmation route, you'll go to hell. You choose the good works route, you'll go to hell.